Welcome to Coffee with the Coaching Revolutionaries from thecoachingrevolution.com. Welcome to Coffee with the Coaching Revolutionaries from the Coaching Revolution.
Hello and welcome to this episode. I'm Sarah Short, and today I'm going to interview one of our mentees. And the chap that I'm going to interview is the rather wonderful Jeff Matthews. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you. Thank you so much for agreeing to talk to us. So what I'd like to ask you is, can you tell me about your background and how did you come across coaching?
Okay. I'm 58 years old now, Sarah. I know I don't look it, but effectively, I've been working since I was 16. So for 42 years, since Adam was a lad, I worked in banking for 31 years. But I had a bit of a eureka moment. Whilst I was stuck in a well-paid job, something happened in the 90s. Two things happened, actually, which inspired me. Mm-hmm. One was I was a training manager delivering courses. So although my background was banking, I got to do plenty of different roles. And one role I particularly enjoyed was delivering training courses. Mm-hmm. And one of them we had to deliver was a three-day leadership skills course, of which one day was devoted to coaching.
Aha!
So I'm going back now over 20 years, but I remember that was the best job I ever had in banking, and that was probably the most enjoyable time I had within that enjoyable job. And around about the same time, I remember being inspired by a BBC television series called Troubleshooter.
Yes.
And some people listening to this will remember it, and some people will not. But it was all about Sir John Harvey Jones going into companies, all eyes, all ears, and helping companies grow and sort problems. And I loved it. I loved it. So in a short sentence, I would say really where I've come from is a very compliant regulatory background. But I was probably the entrepreneur trying to break out and push against the walls a little bit. So I left it too long to break out. And then over the last 10 years, in 2008, I actually did start my own property investment company, which I sold in December last year. And I've now got my own property development company, which I'm very excited about. So that's running alongside my new coaching venture. Coaching is new to me, although I've kind of wanted to do it for some time now. I found that it's kind of been bubbling under a long time. And I suppose at this stage of my life, it's give back time. You know, I really want to combine all my experience that I've gathered.
Yeah.
But just kind of debunk and reset a little bit, Sarah, really, and just say, although I've been around the block, I don't know it all. And if I just kind of reset my mindset, wouldn't it be great if I can help the people that need my help? So that's where I am.
Thank you. So here's the thing that I've noticed amongst us coaches, and that is that we are, to a man and a woman, people. Mm-hmm. We're all people. And it doesn't really matter what our backgrounds are. We are all the kind of people that like helping other people. It's like we all end up in this place. We all end up discovering coaching. And if you're lucky, you discover it in your 20s. I think it's a bit more prevalent now, isn't it? So people do perhaps discover it in their 20s. But if you're like us, you discover it in your 40s or your 50s. And you go, crikey, coaching, where have you been all my life? Yeah. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm not just looking to help people because I think it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing for Jeff. Of course, that's what I want to do professionally now. But also, I want to look and help the people that, above all, Sarah, for me, it's the people that want the help.
Yes.
They might need the help, but also they want the help. And one thing I've been doing quite a lot of over the last few weeks is networking.
Right.
And it still astounds me how many people are bad at networking, and all they want to do, they've got a coach in the room or they have an accountant in the room, all they want to do is talk about themselves and show off rather than ask questions, listen and absorb.
Absolutely. That's the coach in you.
So I'm seeing it all over again. But I'm loving it so far. I'm 3 months in.
Brilliant. I was just going to say that. I was going to say to you, when did you start with the coaching revolution? Because
I checked this today, actually. I called you September 2018. I think I got started October 2018. So effectively, I'm 5-6 months through my mentor program.
Right.
So I'm 9 sessions out of 10 with Robert, who's my mentor.
Oh, right. Okay. So you're nearly there. Brilliant. So obviously, the coaching revolution is all about the business of coaching, about developing coaching businesses. So what were you doing regarding business development before, for your coaching business, before you found us?
Not a lot. I was scratching around, really, doing internet searches. I looked at one of our competitors, and it wasn't for me. You know, it had certain pitfalls, but above all, it just didn't feel right for various reasons. So business development-wise, I was thinking, can I do this on my own or do I need help? And I stumbled across one of your videos, actually, doing a TED Talk.
Yes.
And I can't remember the exact subject, but I was quite inspired by it. And I was inspired to the point that I remember making an inquiry to you going, okay, this is interesting. Can we have a chat? Yeah. And we had a 30-minute chat. And I think I said to you right at the end of that call, right, I'm really interested. Let's get going. Because I think I realized that you can't just walk into a coach. I know it's unregulated, but you can't just walk into a coaching role and show your badge. You know, you've got to really develop skills. And what I'm doing now is using the ICF framework. Mm. As you probably know, we've kicked off with that in the last month or so now.
Yeah.
And that's been really eye-opening for me.
Okay, let me just explain to people who are listening who are thinking, I've got no idea what you're talking about. Jeff is not only working with Robert as his business mentor, but he's also working with our trainer on our ICF ACC program. Yeah. So here's a question. Actually, before I ask you a question, let me just tell you something that you've reminded me of. I remember where I was when I spoke to you. Now, bearing in mind how many people I speak to, that's quite something, isn't it? And I can tell you where I was in a multi-story car park in Kendal. And every time I drive past the particular space that I was in, it makes me smile because I think, oh, I was there when I spoke to Jeff. Isn't it funny how some things stick in your head and others don't?
I think I'd like to be remembered more than a car parking space. But anyway, it's nice that it's stuck in your mind.
It's the conversation I remember. So, when you joined us back in October last year, what were you hoping for?
I was hoping to strip things back to basics. I think I used the phrase before, debunk and reset. And I wanted to talk to somebody who had not been in business for 40 years. And I know I've got that with Robert, my mentor. But effectively, I wanted to talk to somebody who had been there, got the T-shirt, and effectively they were living what, you know, they were saying what and living what they've done. Mm. And that was really important to me because there's a lot of people out there at the moment who are peddling their wares for coaches or aspiring coaches. And I think the stat is that 15% succeed and 85% will fail. And I didn't want to be one of those statistics. I really wanted to speak to real, honest, transparent people that knew what they were doing. And I felt that straight away by talking to you. I talked to Paul, I think. I talked to a couple of other people. And it just felt instinctively right. I'm very much a heart person when it comes to decisions. So I'm very instinctive. And it felt right. And for that reason, I made the decision to come across to you guys. And I'm loving it, absolutely loving it.
Oh, that's good to know. That's really good to know. So that's what you were hoping for. What did you get? What have you had from us?
Effectively, just that. Effectively, I've had what I expected and probably a bit more. And I think one thing that struck me is, first of all, I must say that the right match with your mentor is very, very important. And I think I spoke to you at the time about how important it was for me that I had a mentor that really understood the way I worked and wanted to work. And I've 110% got that. And for anybody else listening to this, I would say make sure you've got the right mentor. And I know you work very, very hard in matching that, and I trusted you and you got it right. That's brilliant. Well,
let me tell you something about that. I always say to everyone, this is the mentor you're going to start with. If for any reason you're not happy with that mentor, you can change and there will be no hard feelings. And I've said that to everybody back to the very beginning. And to date, have a guess how many people have changed?
Zero, probably.
Exactly. Nobody has. Everybody's been utterly delighted with their mentor.
Yeah, so, oh, that's great news.
Yeah, we've got that kind of matching process down to fine art. And that stands forever going forwards. You know, if somebody feels that the mentor that they're working with isn't right for them, then they are absolutely, absolutely at liberty to change mentors. And one day, I'm sure it will happen. It just never has yet.
I think the other thing as well, Sarah, I would say to answer your question fully is that it's so easy just to kind of sign up to a program. I have 10 mentor sessions and that's it. That's the lifespan of it. Most companies would do that. But of course, life goes on. As a mentee, I know for sure that in 6 months' time, 12 months' time, I can still dial in on a Monday night. I can still pick up the phone to my mentor. He'll still be around. He won't disown me. I don't think he will anyway. But I do like the fact that there's no pressure to be too prescriptive. So I do like the idea that once all the mentor sessions are finished, you don't forget about us. We're still there. There's still development days and it's ongoing.
The community is, for me, really the most important part, because the mentoring sessions, that's a process, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the community is like the heart of what we do. And you mentioned the Monday night. You can always dial in on a Monday night. Just again, for anybody who's listening, who's thinking, what's he talking about? On a Monday night, all of the Coaching Revolution members get to dial in to a taught session. And it's an hour between 8 and 9, and it's very informal, but very friendly. And it's educational, and kind of the deal is that you'll always know more by 9 o'clock than you did at 8 o'clock. And if you want to bring a glass of wine with you, that's fine too. And it's fun, it's lighthearted, and we use it to kind of teach the things that everybody needs to know, so that you don't have to waste those mentoring minutes learning the stuff that applies to everybody. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it goes beyond that even as well. I think I'm finding already 6 months in that there's little support groups forming as well. You know, I've had conversations with probably half a dozen other coaches offline about either issues they've got or a question I may have. Yeah. And that's happening outside the process.
Absolutely.
Naturally.
And it's all about the community. It's all about the community. Because once you know the process, and you've got your consistency and you've got your kind of rinse and repeat formula, and I go on about this rinse and repeat formula, but you know what it is you're doing, that's your 10 sessions. That's you. You've learned what you needed to know. The community's there for when one of those foxholes appears that you twist your ankle in when you're out for a walk and you look at it and you go, oh, should I be doing this? And coaches that are kind of out there trying to do this on their own, what they find, and I know this because I talk to a lot of them, what they find is that somebody will come up with something. They'll see something online. Oh, there's a coaching directory there. If I spend £2,000 on a coaching directory, I won't have to do anything at all. All my clients will come to me. And of course, it doesn't work like that. But sadly, they've spent the £2,000 before they realise that. And one of the things that we kind of pride ourselves on is we don't let our mentees fall down those holes. And part of the way that we do that is we try to make sure that the avenues of communication are like motorways, that they're always open and you can always ask, and there is no question that's daft or there's nothing too small. And I think we got the balance with that right, would you say?
Yes, I would say so. And you know, I think the proof is in the pudding and what we actually do. And there was a situation last week, actually, when I was talking to one of the other coaches, and we just stopped the conversation. We said, guess what? We're coaching each other here. It's almost become, you know, we start off on day one, don't we, Sarah, with a new business idea. So where do we start? Where do we go? How do we get new customers? And last week was the realization for me that all of a sudden I was professionally, subconsciously falling into coaching mode automatically.
Brilliant.
And I think that's a good thing.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. So over the last 6 months, what have you discovered that was unexpected?
The big one is you can't wing it. I know certain people, Sarah, are very good at winging it and other people aren't. But I think certainly for me, I do like structure. Mm. So going out into the big wide world as a 58-year-old ex-businessman stroke entrepreneur, going out and saying, here you go, I can now coach you. Even though I felt I had the skills, I think by resetting, I realized I probably didn't. Mm. Or if they were there, the process that you've given me has helped me really hone it down to where it should be.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
So I think the unexpected thing for me was, don't believe that you know it all, because there's a lot of help out there at the moment. And sure, we can all read books, but there's nothing like real life support.
No.
You know, whether it's over a video or over the phone or face to face over a coffee. Yeah. So I'd say that. And I think the other thing as well is the don't underestimate the importance of your ideal client's avatar, as we call it.
Yeah.
And keynote presentation. Because again, when that was presented to me, I kind of rubbed my chin a little bit and go, okay. But now I really get it.
Yeah.
You know, it is if you can visualize your ideal client and you can visualize where they hang out, then that's half the battle.
Yeah, absolutely.
But those key messages are still coming through.
It's counterintuitive though, isn't it? You know, when coaches set off with us, they're like, hang on a second, there are 7 billion people in the world and you want me to focus on this one? It's like, yep. But once you get the idea of how it works and the fact that there are lots of people that fit around that ideal client who will still hear the message, it's very powerful. Look at the success that our mentees are having. It works. It just works.
Yeah, I almost see it as though, you know, your ideal client is the straight road ahead of you when you don't veer off the road. But of course you do. Yeah. And I was at a network meeting this morning, and I remember bumping into somebody and I thought, do you know what? He's as close as the ideal client I've met over the last two months.
Brilliant.
And I've had conversations with people that aren't my ideal client, but I still believe I can do a service for them by coaching them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, your ideal client is all about your marketing. Who you sell to is a whole different ballgame, but let's not get into that because otherwise we'll
spend here all day.
Yeah, absolutely. We won't be on that straight road you were just talking about. So, out of the process that you've done so far, your 9 out of 10 mentoring sessions, what was the most challenging thing that you found?
One thing I've learned so far is coming from a banking and a property sales background, my sales experience has been very transactional and almost instant. Mm. What's the challenge I've got now is understanding that business generation can be a slow burn.
Yes.
Because you've got to build the trust. You know, if somebody's going to invest X pounds with you for 10 sessions, whatever it may be, they're not going to open up their soul to you on one 30-minute coffee meeting. You've got to build that trust. So I think the importance of kind of being tenacious in your business development tactics, but also being patient with the way you do it, that's the one thing, really, the challenge I've kind of had to readjust slightly in the way I approach business generation. But guess what? It's working. I've got paid clients on board. I've got some great exposure. I'm doing some work outside of my normal coaching domain as well. Funnily enough, with my old bank.
Brilliant.
I think some people know that I'm mentoring now for Santander with the Women Ahead in Business. And that's come ahead because of what I'm doing through my coaching now.
Brilliant.
So there's lots of really, really good things happening. I want to get to the situation in 6 months' time where I could say, do you know what? My diary's full at the moment.
Brilliant, brilliant.
That's where I want to be.
So what was the best thing? What's been the best thing so far?
Can I share a personal story with you? Because it's I'm hoping this is going to resonate for everybody listening. But the best thing so far is doing this, and it's for a very personal reason. Back in 2016, 2017, two things happened which really made me question what I wanted to do in my business life. One was my father became very ill, and he unfortunately passed away. And the other one was the fact that my property investment business, I had one large supplier that really let me down, and it kind of jolted me at the time that I was looking after my dad. So what this has allowed me, the question was, what's the best thing that's happened? Those two things that kind of knocked me back. I've almost found now that the coaching revolution and the work I'm doing has kind of got my mojo back. And I was kind of for 12 months just scratching around thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do for the next 5, 10 years? Yeah, and I think I always said to you since the 90s, I wanted to do this. It was hidden within.
Yeah.
And then once things settled down, I just decided then that, you know what, I'm going to go for it, but I'm not going to just jump in on the first website. I'm going to research this. And I think from researching it to jumping in with you guys, it took me about 9 months.
Yeah.
Because I wanted the decision and the support structure to be absolutely correct. And I'm glad I waited that 9 months to make the right decision.
Fantastic. So how do you feel about the future?
I'm really optimistic. I'm really optimistic because I'll tell you why, Sarah, because I go to networking events now and even talk to my mentor, Robert. He will question. I believe I'm a good networker. But I remember having a conversation with him just the other week, and I said, I'm going to this networking event. And he said, why? I said, because I enjoy it. Some good people there. And he said, what's your objectives? And I said, I want to kind of just raise my profile. I said, yeah, but are your ideal clients going to hang out in that event? I said, do you know what? Maybe not. And I've come away from that event completely. So the future, I'm optimistic because I'm always sandpapering away at my tactics and what I'm doing, you know. And we probably go 2 to 3 weeks in between each mentoring session. Mm-hmm. And what we agree in that event and what we deliver is probably only 80%, because the 20% we've changed, or I've changed. I made a decision that, you know what, I've tried that, hasn't quite worked, but I've got the balls to actually change it and do something a little bit different. And then say to Robert, I've changed it and I've done something different because I felt it was the right decision. Yeah. And he backs me 100%.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that kind of having the balls, as you put it, is about being confident in your knowledge, in your knowledge of how to develop a coaching business. Because once you've got that knowledge and that confidence, then you can kind of play with it. It's like everything else. Once you know what you're doing, you can dance with it a little bit. Whereas until you know what you're doing, all you're doing is dancing.
Yeah. And I must admit as well, I was also quite fearful about ICF and the accreditation that we talked about a little bit earlier on, because I've not done any kind of learning for 20 odd years. But I must admit, I'm really enjoying it.
That's
which I didn't think I would, but I am.
Oh, no, I've done the course. It's absolutely great. Yeah. So to kind of conclude our conversation, which is like 25 minutes that's gone in the blink of an eye,
wow,
as it always does, what would you say to anybody who's listening to this podcast episode, who's kind of listening because they're quite curious about the coaching revolution and possibly they're thinking about working with us?
Well, first of all, I would say do your research. I would definitely advocate that you go with a working partner like the coaching revolution, but do your research very, very carefully. Don't go out and do it alone. You know, unless you've been a coach that's been very successful for the last 20 years, very few of them around, you definitely can't do it alone. So first of all, get support from somebody like the Coaching Revolution. But if you want to check out the competition, do. But I've done it. And trust me, this is where my home is. Secondly, I would say that you definitely need a structure behind what you're doing. And the structure that you've given us has been very, very helpful. And I must admit, I am a good questioner. I like to question things. When things are put in front of me saying, that's the process, I will question it. And I did question it initially, but Sarah, you were right.
I'm always right.
and I think the other thing as well is that, as I said earlier, I'd just like to reemphasize to anybody listening that once you've had your mentoring sessions, it doesn't stop there. Some companies will take your money. They kind of look after you for 3, 6 months, wherever it is, and that's it. you fly solo. I don't think anybody's flying solo in the coaching revolution. As you said, that community will carry on.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like.
Yeah, well, I suppose we're not a training organisation, or not solely a training organisation, are we? We are a community. I know I keep going on about this, but the community is central to everything that we do. It's the heart of what we do. Jeff, tell me, who do you work with?
My ideal clients, you mean?
Yeah.
My ideal clients are SME business owners, probably turning over around about £1 million, mm-hmm. Probably family owned to some degree.
Yeah.
And they are probably flatlining in terms of performance. And what I mean by that is that they're doing okay in their eyes. And they, certainly in Yorkshire, they will probably come out with the phrases like, it ain't broke, so I ain't going to fix it. And yeah. As far as I'm concerned, that's red rag to a bull, because to throw out another saying, you know, you can't reinvent the wheel. Well, my argument is absolutely yes, you can. Yeah. If you're riding a penny farthing at the moment, you need to get on the next sky bicycle, because that's the way you should be performing. So, I think at the moment that I'm very happy with the way it's going, and I'm looking forward to the next 12 months.
So the reason that I asked you who you work with is because the next thing I'm going to say is that if there's anybody listening to this thinking, actually, I know somebody that might want to talk to Jeff, how will we find you? If we want to find you on LinkedIn, what are you on there as?
I'm on there as Jeff Matthews, obviously, but effectively I'm there as somebody who helps businesses grow. And I'm thinking about rebranding at the moment, because I've kind of piggybacked on some kind of friends mentor group website. But I want to come away from that and be a little bit more independent. Mm-hmm. So only today I've registered two new domains, jeffmatthewscoaching.com. Global and jeffmatthews.co.uk. So what I'll be doing over the next few weeks is there'll be a independent website for me, mm-hmm. and it won't be aligned to the old brand. I'm going to go purely independent. Okay. That's hot off the press. You guys are the first people to know that.
Oh, how fantastic. But let's just reiterate for anybody who wants to connect with you on LinkedIn, you're Jeff, J-E-F-F, Jeff, and you're Jeff Matthews. Matthews with two T's. Fantastic. Well, all that remains then is to say thank you so much for your time. And I look forward to watching you for the next 12 months to see this sawing that's going to happen.
Oh, it's been a rollercoaster ride, but it's been very enjoyable, Sarah. I've loved it so far. It's been great. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to find out more about the business opportunity from the coaching revolution, go to thecoachingrevolution.co.uk and choose business opportunity from the menu. See you next time.